It's got a death curse.
Swords have father people like me. And then who will help you up in the sewer?
Just like having a wart removed.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Another Christmas is coming around with all the lights and the trees and presents and stuffed stockings and eggnog and friends and family coming together. Isn't Christmas a wonderful and happy time of the year?
Not on my show, it's not.
You're scared, ain't you? You should be. Christmas Eve. It's the scariest damn night of the year.
That's right, folks. It's not all cute reindeer and fucking candy canes. No, no, no. There's a dark side to this time of year, and in true Horror 101 fashion, we're gonna give it to you. Lock, stock, and smoke and barrel.
Punish! Punish!
Get out your Santa hats and double-sided axes, because we're taking a twisted turn down this holiday road. Anybody remember our last year's Christmas show? We set the bar pretty high, featuring Bob Clark's Black Christmas from 1974, starring John Saxon, Margot Kidder, Andrea Martin, and the lovely Olivia Hussey. In our opinion, even after all this time, it is still the most terrifying Christmas-themed horror film ever made. So if you haven't seen it yet, and you're one of those people that love to be scared, like you're 5 years old in a dark basement all by yourself kind of scared, then let me again suggest you get your hands on it. And after all the little kiddies are fast asleep this Christmas Eve, you kill all the lights except for the Christmas tree, snuggle up with your favorite significant other, and give it a try. And I guarantee you, that little trip to bed that you take so often will seem more frightening to you than it has in years. Joining me tonight is my usual cohorts, the world-famous Brian Stewart and cult sensation Nick McPherson, and joining us for the first time, it's our good friend Blake the Voice Hellhart. Tonight we're going to be featuring a classic Christmas slasher. This movie started a whole bunch of controversy when it came out in 1984. Prepare yourselves for Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Cult sensation, how's your Christmas going to go this year?
My Christmas is going to go with me trying to sleep in and hoping to sleep in, but not being able to because my cats are part fucking alarm clock. And then I'm going to get up, feed the cats, have maybe a cup of coffee, a little time to myself, and then the marathon of running between all the different households for Christmas will begin.
I remember when I was a kid, I'd be up at 5:30, 5 o'clock. I'd sneak downstairs at least once in the middle of the night. Because I used to memorize where all the creeps were in the fucking steps and take about 20 minutes to get downstairs, moving ever so cautiously. Just so I could check the stockings and then go back upstairs. Now, there is nothing under that tree that's going to get my fat ass up before 10. Nothing. I could care less. It'll be there when I wake
up. That's it.
I don't care if the phone rings and it's grandma calling to wish me a Merry Christmas. I'll get back to you. I have an answering machine. I'll see that you call.
So yeah, I was going to do one of the Fulci shows, and then I recognized that, like, we're going right into December. It takes me a couple weeks to make these things, so I'm like, the next show has to be the Christmas show. It has to be the Christmas show, so what are we going to do? Last year we did Black Christmas. Fucking love Black Christmas. He had never seen Black Christmas before. You should have seen him.
That's on the new one. That's on the friggin' remake.
Oh, which... with the only good about that was a Helen Trachtenberger.
Well, and they also brought back Andrea Martin. to play. She played the house mother
yes.
in the remake.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, you know, I kept wondering how much of the remake they actually took from the original. And in the remake, they turned him into a cannibal, and he was making Christmas cookies out of his mother's back flesh.
It was
horrible. Oh, the commercial, yeah. Yeah.
Well, the original was the, what, the Margot Kidder vehicle?
Yeah.
It was the night before Christmas, when all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. You've made it through Halloween. Now try and survive Christmas. Silent night. Deadly night.
So, Silent Night, Deadly Night. Who here has seen it? I know Blake's seen it.
Mm.
Have you seen it?
No, I have not seen it.
Have you seen it?
I don't believe so.
Killer Santa Claus movie. This movie, it'll show you, is 1984, but it was actually made like 82, 83. It was shelved for a year, and then it came out. And
huge uproar.
This was a movie that started, I wouldn't say started the whole video nasty craze, but it really got parent groups and all those people, those well-to-do people.
Worked up.
Moral authority people all worked up and picketing. And TriStar actually yanked this movie from the theaters after it was released.
2 weeks.
The second or third yeah. week. To give you an idea of how popular it was when it first came out, this came out the same weekend as The Nightmare on Elm Street and actually outmade Nightmare on Elm Street on the first week. And then all of a sudden, Siskel and Ebert panned it. Like, the fact that there was a killer Santa Claus just sent people into a fucking uproar. Do you remember that?
I do. That's why I wanted to see it so bad when I was a kid.
And I remember the first time I saw this movie, there's one scene near the beginning where this maniacal Santa Claus actually beats and rapes and kills this girl right in front of her kid. Like, he's in the bushes watching this happen. I'm thinking to myself, wow, this is a powerful movie. This is very, like, the subject matter is like, wow.
Especially for the carefree 80s. When you think of the 80s, you think of, like, silly romantic comedies, you know, like...
Yeah, but this was the early 80s. Yeah. I mean, this was like Friday the 13th and The Burning and Maniac and all those really grim right. slasher
and
movies.
And it took that and it ran with it, you know.
But now the whole thing was, is okay... Axe murders and hockey masks, yeah, we can deal with that. But now all of a sudden they're targeting the sanctity of Christmas. You know, like Santa Claus is supposed to be every kid's dream of this nice guy, this fat old man with the sleigh and the reindeer coming to bring you presents on Christmas. And all of a sudden now he's got an axe in his hand and he's killing people.
Well, and
they had enough. That was it.
Here we are 28 years later, you know, and it's the same thing. People are so touchy about the holidays, right? And what do we call the holidays in that? And this was kind of the genesis of that mentality, right. That it was the beginning of the attack on Christmas.
Well, I mean, for all of Christmas's love and attention and PR, it is actually one of the most disturbing times of the year for a lot of people. It's the highest rate of suicide in the year.
Yeah.
There are more people who are probably getting drunk on Christmas and depressed sitting alone in their underwear than there are people having a good time.
Yeah.
And nobody likes the bills that pile up from Christmas. There's more stress from that holiday than probably any other event that we have as a family.
Well, don't forget, also this time of year, we're getting a lot less sunlight, and there's actually a psychological effect of not getting, like, people go a little cuckoo when they don't get enough daylight.
Yeah.
Now you shut yourself in, you kind of go a little stir crazy.
That's funny, you know, because I always thought everyone was happy during the holidays. No matter what.
Well, most people are, but some aren't. Well, everybody else is opening up their presents. They're opening up their wrists.
Cheery thought.
It's true. The suicide rate's always the highest around the holidays.
Now I'm depressed.
I remember the first time the notion of Christmas being anything but happy for me when I was a kid was given to me by Phoebe Cates
in Gremlins.
Because here I was like 6-7 years old watching Gremlins. And Gremlins is a Christmas movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
It is, as much as Die Hard is, as sick as that is. But every, you know.
We but still watch it every Christmas Eve.
Here's Phoebe Cates talking to, Zach Galligan? Who was the guy in there?
Yeah, Zach Galligan.
Zach Galligan. Explaining how, you know, her dad died on Christmas and everybody's more depressed and suicides are up on Christmas. And it blew my mind as a kid because I knew what all these things were. How could that be? Because Christmas to me, fortunately, I had a good upbringing. Christmas was always a happy time for us. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I couldn't understand why people would be depressed during such a great time of year. But of course, this is when you're a kid, and all you got to do is worry about getting up Christmas Eve and or Christmas morning and getting all your presents. Now that I'm an adult, I understand the financial stress and all the family politics and all that bullshit. I understand now what she meant.
Okay. You're on your own until morning. Merry Christmas. There you are, you bad kitty.
Punish!
What do you remember from this movie?
Honestly, the main memory I have of it is that the Linnea Quigley scene with the deer head.
On the wall?
Because, you know, when I saw this, when it came out, I was 10. So I was probably 11-ish or 12 when I saw this. And at the time, they were some of the greatest hits I'd ever seen. And it was some of the most gore I had ever seen at that point as well. Because, like I was telling you earlier, I had never, as a kid, got to see uncut horror movies. I saw them on Channel 20, Channel 50. So I always saw the horribly hacked up, no gore versions of the movies.
Right.
So I knew who these people were. I knew who Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers were, but I didn't really get why these movies were considered so horrible until I saw this film. Because like I said, having only seen the really badly edited versions, all my friends who had cool parents had seen them, and we talk about, like, you know, you got the knife in the eyeball, and, oh, have you ever seen someone get an axe in the head, and all these things, and we'd all be going, no way, dude, tell me more. I need to see these things for myself. So, and it wasn't until I was probably in high school that I started watching them on video and seeing how crazy the scenes were and being like, wow, did I ever miss out in my childhood on this stuff, you know? Because it would have had a bigger impact on me when I was 10 or 12 as opposed to when I was 15 or 16.
Billy, what's wrong?
Your brother's in that case, that's what's wrong.
No, he's not! Take it back!
Boys.
And the guy who plays the killer in this does a great job of playing this disturbed individual who's almost a victim himself in this film.
Naughty!
Right. Yeah. He's very... Like it's the images, I guess, that I really remember from the movie. More so than the dialogue, more so than anything else. Those images of his face and of Linnea Quigley's tits. You know? Probably the two most important things in the movie.
Young and impressionable, that's what I would remember too.
Just try not to remember them at the same time. That face with Linnea Quigley.
See, now that's what got us when Nick and I saw Black Christmas, was the performance of whoever was that played Billy. Because it wasn't this neat, polished Hollywood version of mental illness. This was raw, frigging, scare the shit out of me, ballistic, chaotic mental illness, and it was just terrifying. So I guess that's the kind of thing I'll be looking for, because I was talking to Cash earlier when he said we're going to be doing Silent Night, Deadly Night, by overwhelming demand by, you know, the, you know, waves of listeners that we have, then I'm like, did we kind of set the bar too high doing Black Christmas first? So, you've seen both?
I don't know. I would say that, for me specifically, Silent Night, Deadly Night is the ultimate Christmas slasher film. For me.
Right.
Because it was the first one that I had seen. It was probably the first slasher movie that was uncut that I saw. So it'll always have a special place in my heart.
And on that note, it's time to cue the bleeding hearts.
Our kids are all learning to trust Santa Claus. They don't have any... fairy tales left.
There's a documentary on our favorite kind of films called Going to Pieces, The Rise and Fall of the Slasher Film. It's a great piece which features some interesting interviews and behind-the-scenes footage from some of our favorite horror movies. There's a segment that's focused directly at the public outrage that was stirred up when Silent Night, Deadly Night was released. It's a grotesque display of moral righteousness, once again trumping common sense, and we've seen this 1,000 times. People who aren't fans of something grabbing their pitchforks and torches and making sure those who think differently from them are left wanting, all in the name of what's best for the public good. After 2 weeks in the theater, TriStar bowed to the pressure and yanked Silent Night, Deadly Night from the screens. This was an R-rated movie. It's not for children. The whole purpose to have it yanked was because children held Santa Claus in high regard. Well, to that I say, you're the parent.
Make sure they don't watch the fucking thing. It's your job, not ours. I mean, come on, folks. This is fiction.
The producers of this motion picture have asked me to take this opportunity to say, fuck you.
The only way I can identify with the people who were outraged was the trailer. If you watch the old trailer for the movie and it's all over YouTube, you might be able to better understand the fury that it created. You'd think these people actually went to see the movie and then picketed the theaters? No! They went strictly on what the trailer presented, and it does feature every, and I mean every, kill in the movie, and with some of the gore intact. It's a menagerie of death, and it's blatantly Santa Claus doing the killing. It was an overzealous advertising campaign that just went way too far for early 80s television. This is an opinion that is shared by Lillian Chauvin, who plays the Mother Superior in the movie.
I think what went wrong was the promo. If the promo had done no Santa Claus whatsoever, but had taken maybe the child who is terrified, if they had done something like that and shown how the boy got twisted, it would have been wonderful. Somebody got carried away with an idea. Wouldn't it be sensational to have a picture and advertise with Santa Claus? Never, ever thinking of the repercussion. Sure, the public has a right to have an opinion. I don't think you have the right to impose your opinion on somebody else.
Lillian Chauvin died 4 years ago at the age of 82. But even up till the end, she defended the movie for what it really was. It was easy to disregard Silent Night, Deadly Night as mindless trash exploiting Christmas, but the reality is much different. The Santa Claus killings is just one of many layers that make up the whole picture. Allow me to give you a synopsis. When a little boy named Billy witnesses a maniac dressed as Santa Claus kill his parents on Christmas Eve, he's thrown into a boarding school and subjected to harsh upbringing by the Mother Superior. When he's 18, he gets a job at a local toy store, and without knowing the kid's past, they make him play Santa and get him all liquored up, and then he snaps. The rest is precisely what the critics say it is. It's a vicious slasher film, but the character development for the killer is a long and dedicated process, worthy of artistic merit. And I was eager to get Nick and Brian's thoughts on it.
So what'd you think?
Well, I'll tell you, except for the initial attack. The initial attack where Santa's a killer, he's killed the convenience store owner, and he's pulled over to the side of the road. That setup, we know that he's bad news, and that they're pulling over. That scene and the scene with the grandfather I liked in the beginning. I thought that was well done.
The grandfather scene's awesome.
Yeah.
That catatonic grandfather just comes to
just the look out of the corner of his eye at first, and then he turns over.
You see Santa Claus tonight? You better run, boy. You better run for your life.
But otherwise, after the initial killing, there was no suspense for me, ever. And I think the problem for me is that because we had so much backstory, we had sympathy for this character. And I have a hard time being afraid of somebody that I've come to sympathize with. And so I had this really mixed feeling watching it.
I think that saves the movie, though. Like, in all of the complaints that came out initially about it, that it was just this heartless, mindless slasher film. You do have this killer who's a victim.
Yeah, but the people that were against this movie were the people that didn't actually take the time to watch the movie.
But that's how it always goes.
They watched the trailer and they flipped out.
Yeah.
And had they watched the movie and seen that this killer is this victimized person who is, you know, pushed.
But when we do something naughty, we are always caught. And then we are punished. Punishment is absolute. Punishment is necessary. Punishment is good.
I'm willing to bet that they saw the first 10 minutes, thought that the killer was the initial Santa Claus killer at the start of the film, and that was going to be the whole movie.
Yeah.
They probably thought that was it, because that's all they would have needed is an opening attack.
Oh yeah, that opening attack is very powerful, because the kid's in the bushes watching this happen to his parents, you know what I mean? Like, wow. Santa Claus is evil.
Yeah.
The gore. What about the gore?
Of course, Linnea Quigley gets the best death in the movie. I mean, that was pretty good. I like how they exhibit his strength. how the one, the choking scene with the Christmas lights, it's one-handed.
Yeah.
How he's able to pick her up and slowly impale her on the deer antlers.
And there's a lot of shots that establish that he's bigger. Yeah. Like, they really worked that angle. He's this taller, but, and like you guys said, baby-faced guy.
Yeah.
Very, he was 18. Non-threatening.
The killer looking. In this movie was 18 years old. He's just a kid.
Yeah.
You know, well, Michael Myers was 21. You could say the same thing about him.
I mean, the first time you see him where he's wearing the jeans and he's applying for the stock boy job, he's got this very kind of farm boy appeal to him. He seems like a clean cut, you know, nice young man, quote unquote. But, and I think that's one of the reasons I didn't know quite how to take this movie, because once he becomes Santa, he has the beard pulled down. I think they should have left the beard up.
Well, but then you're not, you know, you're not going to... He's acting with this much of his face, right?
Right. But you know what? A good actor can convey so much, even just with voice and body language. I mean,
no one's saying this guy's a good actor, right? You know?
Yeah.
He's not Ron Perlman, who's made a career out of working behind makeup.
Right. But just, I think not being able to see his facial expression, just getting that monotone, naughty, every once in a while, would have made him far more frightening, because his face nullifies all fear, because I look at him and think, I can't be afraid of you. I don't even care if you have that axe.
But it might have been a calculated decision to make the character... Because it's easy to hate Jason Voorhees. It's easy to hate Michael Myers, because they're like mindless killing machines.
You never see their face.
And their backstories are not as in-depth as this was. You don't see the torment as much.
But at the same token, though, I'm not as afraid. I mean...
Right.
And I enjoyed watching it. It was never boring. I could definitely watch it again. Was that as much as I like the idea of getting more background story, I think if this was any other slasher film, it would have ended with the kid watching from the ditch after the killer left, and then saying 10 years later, and it's him coming out of some mental hospital. And that's where the movie would have started. Any other slasher movie, that would have been it. That's all we would have gotten.
But instead, you get a little bit of background story, and it works. I enjoy that.
It does, because the kid actually is a decent actor, showing the disturbed end of it,
right,
and the fear.
The only problem for me is that it kills the timing, because you've only got an 85-minute movie. By the time he finally goes out and we've established his M.O., we've got 25 minutes of film left, and so now they have to establish people's guilt in such a short time frame that it's laughable, some of the results. The killing of the priest, in order to set up the cop's death, is hilarious. I mean, the kids, the bullies, is just outright just funny. I mean, I think the movie probably could have been an extra 20, 25 minutes longer, and we could have taken our time. That probably would have been better.
But, you know, it's a common device in slasher films to have the guilt established quickly in the sense of, okay, any Friday the 13th movie, hey, look at these kids are having sex. Well, they're dead.
Yeah.
Because
they're
fucking, you know, or, you know.
Right.
It's always, you know.
Is that a joint in his mouth?
He's gone. It's easily established, right? You know, that these people are bad or deserving of some kind of death in some way.
We don't always watch slasher films for suspense, either. We watch it for body count.
Certainly.
So that was the thing about this movie.
And for unintentional humor.
Okay, in that case, this movie works as a slasher film. Yeah. If we were to grade it on the curve of a thriller, it falls.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, take a closer look at yourself in the mirror, Billy. And just remember, be jolly. Lots of ho, ho, ho. Try not to scare the little bastards. Sometimes they cry their heads off. I guess they think the old guy's scary. Silly, isn't he?
Yeah. Silly.
Remember we said he gets a job at a toy store? Now let's take this into consideration. This toy store is lined with vintage Return of the Jedi shit. All brand new, unopened, any one of those items on the shelf would be worth hundreds of dollars today.
There is a blatant product endorsement for some of these items, like the Jabba the Hutt toy.
A lot of Star Wars shit.
A lot of Smurfs. Yeah, Disney even. The fact that you saw Mickey Mouse on several shots in the background, Mickey Mouse costume mask, the chalkboard. I'm like, wow, you were to do that today, this movie would never be released, because it would just be sued to hell and back again. It'd be tied up in litigation.
All those old toys in that fucking Iris toy shop there.
Yeah.
Any one of them, if they were unopened, they'd be worth $400 or $500 today.
Yeah. Crawl board game.
Crawl board game.
I didn't even know that would exist.
Crawl board game. We'll have to look that up.
Awesome.
The gore I like some of the kills, like the sled scene there. You saw that coming a mile away.
You know, and it's great seeing it like this with the, you know, edited out scenes put back in, because all they showed in the original was like the head rolling down. You didn't get to see the body and the body slumping next to the head. Like, right. Those are great scenes.
Yeah. Hey, the effects are really good in those.
The manager getting the hammer in the head and all the blood splattering on the corrugated boxes there, but like you said, you see those chunks of black matter that's in the gore.
It's not just blood, because mostly
chunks of skull.
Yeah, the green. common effect for that scene is just splattered blood. It's not blood with mass in it.
What about the sinister colleague there that's telling the girl, "Hey, come on back. The party starts at 7 o'clock." He's like, "Yeah, why don't you come on back with me?" 4 hours later, he's like, "Yeah, why don't you keep coming into the back with me?" What the fuck's you been doing with this chick for 4 hours? Just talking to her in the hallway, and then all of a sudden, why don't you come back with me?
You're the worst date rapist ever.
It's like, how did she not know? Women are so oblivious in these movies. It's like, oh, what is it? Is it some kind of toy? Yeah.
You commented on that one drunk chick that actually, well, tried to get away there.
She actually had
admitted
moves.
That ruse.
She has. Not only that, but she would have had to move the equipment, get behind the boxes, restack them to hide the corner.
Put the hat on top.
I'm like, what the hell?
This woman's fucking MacGyver.
Yeah. This is like
far too long of a pause with the axe, though. She could have. There could have been some broken windows there.
Woody! You out there? Woody! Kitty, kitty, kitty! Kitty! Where'd she go?
There are some holes in this. I mean, obviously, how can he tell that two people in a house are having sex in a room with no windows? That kind
of thing. Don't know. I mean, she's standing at an open door topless.
That was after the fact, though. That was after the fact.
Yeah, but she heard the bells.
She heard the bells on Santa, that's why she went to the door.
She thought it was the cat, she heard bells, that's why she went to
the
door.
The other one that bugs
me, he was already at the house.
Yeah, the other one that bugs me is the sister when she says there's a logic to what he's doing. How could she possibly know why he's killing these people or what caused him to kill them? She has no idea. I mean, that was a stretch.
My biggest thing is prologue too long, and then by the time he did, you know, snap and go Santa, there wasn't that much of a body count. No. When you really think about it, it's a toy store, the house. And then he doesn't even he kills the cop, and then that's basically only 6 or 7 people, which for this kind of movie you'd expect a bigger body count.
Right. I haven't laughed so hard as when I saw a priest get shot in the back, and then to learn that he had spent his entire life suffering with deafness. I felt like such an ass, but I couldn't stop laughing.
So. You horrible person!
Well, and we all laughed. We're all going to hell.
My God, it's Father O'Brien. He was our Santa this year.
The kid we're looking for is 18.
Barnes warned the guy to stop, Captain. He didn't respond.
Of course not. He's deaf. He couldn't hear it.
But just the look on her face. Well, he wouldn't, because he's deaf.
Well, and to be fair, that cop did not give him very much time after yelling, you know, stop. Okay, that's it. I'm shooting.
Into a crowd full of kids. Yeah. Which, like I say, what if one of those bullets was a through-and-through, a little Sally got it in the forehead? I'm like, what the hell? He wasn't carrying a weapon or anything. It's just Santa. Well, I got to say, there was one shot in the movie I really, really liked. Well, there were a couple. I liked
the Nutcrackers.
The Nutcrackers, genius.
Oh, the scream!
Best. Those Nutcrackers kicked ass. There was, when the one with the pillbox hat goes into the back there, the one that laid the booby trap, which she notices the body, she screams, they pan over, and it's the Nutcrackers on the shelves with their mouths wide open and the painted teeth. Just like, it really worked. I thought that was cool.
There's no Santa Claus. There is no Santa Claus.
Naughty.
Santa Claus!
If you really think about it, the true villain in the movie is the nun.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
She was one that took a traumatized kid and basically reinforced it and turned him into something that was ready to wind him up.
And then she lives.
Yeah.
So really, this is a movie where the villain gets away at the end.
Well, actually, two villains get away because there's no closure with the original.
Yeah, you don't know what happened.
You don't know if he's caught.
Yeah.
You don't know if he does any time for his crime or if he's shot by the cops. You don't. There's no closure with that initial asshole who started this whole snowball effect.
Also, that's a bit of a loose thread, too. What happened to the brother? We never find out what happens to him as he got old.
Well, that's him at the very end looking at the nun going, naughty.
Yeah, he would he looked way too young for that to be the brother.
Well, the brother, I mean...
Well, the brother was a newborn and the kid was about 8, I guess.
Oh, right.
And he was 18 here.
Okay. Or no, so he would have been about 6.
Because
so
I didn't make that connection.
6 years
older. I thought that was just one of the kids in the crowd.
Well, actually, at the end, he goes and... She makes
him go get something. She's like, yeah, he's a good boy. Nothing at all.
Nothing like his brother William. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then, and we do know that in the following film, he's the killer.
Garbage day.
Garbage day.
Huh?
No.
I would just like to give kudos to the filmmakers for having the balls to make a Santa Claus horror movie. You know what I mean?
Certainly.
It's easy to take a vile serpent of a being and turn him into a monster and make a slasher movie out of that. But it's something different to take something that is generally socially accepted as very positive and cheerful and just rubbing our nose in it saying, no, not this time. This Christmas is not going to... The Santa
and
Claus
to wrap
is not
it
going
with,
to be good.
You know, wrap it with the Santa not being this horrible monster as much as a misunderstood victim. I think it was more or less the, you know, people saying, those that had seen it at least, saying, like, I don't want my child to associate
Santa with sex
with
violence.
Yeah, with these negative images. These should be positive images for our children, not the negative ones. And it's an understandable ideal.
I mean, because heaven forbid parents should take any kind of responsibility over what their kids see.
Right, right.
You know.
No, Billy, don't work back here no more. Sure, I can tell you his new job. Ho, ho, ho.
He's playing Santa Claus for a bunch of snot-nosed kids.
Silent Night, Deadly Night out of 10.
I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it 2 grades here, okay? Unfortunately, as a thriller, it's a 4. As a slasher film, I would say it's probably a good 7.5.
7.5 is good?
Because it's fun. It is fun. It's not scary, but then again, slasher films are supposed to be. There's some great deaths, but unfortunately, as I've seen through Horror 101, there are definitely better slasher films out there.
Blake?
You know, I want to say 7, but part of me that, you know, the part of me that watched it as a kid wants to give it a higher grade. But as an adult watching it now, it's a fun film, and it does things differently than other slasher films. I like that it stands apart like that, and Linnea Quigley's tits.
I'd say that's worth half a point right there.
It really is. Yeah. It really is. She's just solid.
Rib cage and all.
I don't like seeing ribs on women.
You know, even in those horrible high-ass shorts, like,
the Lee shorts.
Those are what did it for me. Freaking belly button. It's ridiculous.
I liked how you just see the bottom of her ass hanging out when she's over his shoulder. I'm like, yeah,
I just
want to squeeze that.
Those are the Daisy Duke shorts right there.
We'll meet her one day. Definitely going to meet her. Yep. She's about this fucking tall.
There you are.
And she's usually sauced by the time you meet her, so she's nice and candid, just like Tony Todd.
Nice.
I'm going to give it probably a 7.5. I mean, it pales in comparison to the other movies that came out around its time, like Maniac, Friday the 13th. Even, I'll say Sleepaway Camp is a better movie than this one. It's on par with, say, The Burning, but Nightmare on Elm Street. Those movies were far more superior than this one. But, again, I'll give these people kudos for taking something that is generally a happy-go-lucky, cheerful time of year and just rubbing our fucking noses in it saying, no, Merry Christmas, fuck you. And Black Christmas was the same way, right? Black Christmas, grim, but Black Christmas...
It scared the hell out of me, though.
Black Christmas is gold.
Yeah.
Like, this is more of a copper to silver. Black Christmas is fucking gold.
So,
And now we get the cult sensation Nick McPherson cell phone review as he teeters on a ladder putting up his Christmas lights.
Hanging Christmas lights on the helm, and I'm on top of a ladder. Can we do this later?
No, we need your review on Silent Night, Deadly Night. Don't fall.
Why do you have your cell phone at the top of a ladder?
It was in my pocket. I didn't want to be rude.
So, Silent Night, Deadly Night, out of 10.
Out of 10, I want to give it a 6.5, but I'm going to give it the extra half for boobs. So we're going to go with a 7.
Linnea Quigley boobs.
Yeah. She makes me horny. Ha ha ha, pun. I thought the prologue was a bit long, and, you know, by the time they actually got to the killing part, there wasn't quite the amount of, you know, gore and slasher parts, and the body count wasn't that high. And I'm just pissed off that stupid nun didn't die. Spoiler!
Nick, thank you very much, and please be careful putting your lights up on your house. Don't fall off that ladder.
Okay.
Poor fucking guy. I hope he's okay. Now, the remake, Silent Night, was made this year. Just came out on Blu-ray last week. We got our hands on it, and I sat down and watched it with Blake and my lovely wife, the Nude, and we got a chance to compare the two movies. The ironic thing for me is that this movie is precisely what the parents were all pissed off about back in 1984. This movie comes out, there's no character development for the killer, he just starts killing people. Within the first 15 minutes, he kills two people, and one of them is a kid! A little fucking brat! Now, I guarantee that the writers of the original movie didn't even entertain the idea of having Santa Claus kill a child. Could you imagine the backlash from that? Yet here we are, watching that very thing happen, and no one says a word. Times have certainly changed.
Now, do you think it's better or worse than the original?
Worse.
On what scale?
I think it's worse only because the original's already been done, mm-hmm. and I don't like remakes. And if they're going to remake it, throwing in the homages, they should have just not done that, made it a totally different movie, remade it.
Well, I think it was a totally different movie in the sense that the first one, you know, like that, like the nun says in that documentary, the movie was about the mental illness of this young man.
Yeah.
And it really focused on him and tried to be more than it was than a slasher film. It tried to give you the story and had all that character development throughout, and then the rampage at the end, whereas this one was kind of just slashery all the way through. You weren't really focused on anyone except the Jamie King character, so instead of being focused on this sick person, you're focused on this healthy person in this sick environment.
There were two things that we really liked about this movie. One, the gore is fantastic, and two, it's got really good homages to the original movies, and there's even a nod to the Garbage Day clip from the second part that YouTube has made a phenomenal sensation.
I loved the homage elements of this. That was really neat. Like,
it's definitely a remake.
Like you said, just the little nods to the original.
Those are awesome.
And the gore, that's probably the best parts of the
movie. Yeah, and the gore was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, about when he split his head.
That was awesome.
Vertically?
Yeah, the gore was good in this.
Yep.
The wood chipper scene was
phenomenal.
Yeah, you know what? The movie loses points for him picking up her severed leg and not beating her with it.
Yes.
That would have been cool. That would have been mega cool. Fucking beating her like almost to the point of death, but, and then grabbing her and throwing her in the wood chipper.
You know, it served a device though. That foot became a little subtle device to kind of give us the prelude. This is what's going to happen.
We knew it was going to happen the moment it got turned on.
But they just to show us. It was like that, you know, almost for him to see. Oh, okay, this is what's going to happen here. Oh, okay, now she's going in. You know, now we know.
Naughty. We needed more naughty.
He said not nice.
Not nice.
Once.
Naughty!
Punish! I got a kick out of that, though. The fact that you're going to keep the guy mute for the whole time, and then the one time someone actually hits him or something, he has that to say. Like, that was funny to me.
Not nice. No, it wasn't nice.
And he had all, like, custom-made weaponry, which was neat. Like, even his knife looked like a handmade knife, like it was hewn, and you know, the knuckles, custom brass knuckles with the ho ho ho. Yeah, that was pretty badass.
One thing I'd like to say, that whoever did the special effects for this movie had a fetish for people bleeding from the mouth, because every victim, no matter how they died, seemed to just start spontaneously bleeding from the mouth.
I thought we were going for a fucking world record of mouth bleeders. It was pretty phenomenal, though.
Well, just, it happened like two or three times, and then the guy gets the nut shot. I'm like, trauma to the balls? Gotta bleed from the mouth. And sure enough, he starts spitting up blood at the mouth.
This movie stars Malcolm McDowell, and I saw... Jesus, Lord, don't get me started.
Malcolm McDowell, every line from his mouth was a ripoff of David Caruso in CSI Miami. It was overacted and overplayed and just stupid and corny.
And there was a buffoon. And there were at least 40 instances where he, like, dramatic pause, stop, face the camera, and overact a single cheese ball line.
And he actually took off his eyeglasses like David Caruso takes off his sunglasses.
Yes.
What is going on with that?
You think we're making shit up? How about a little example?
It's Christmas Eve. And assuming they could give a damn, it'd be midnight before anyone showed up. No, we're just gonna have to take this maniac down ourselves. I'm on his tail now. There's nowhere safe. He can run, but he can't hide.
Are we having fun yet?
Oh, big mistake. Bringing a flamethrower to a gunfight.
He has to know he's doing it.
How do you ask that without being insulting? How do you say, how do you go from Caligula and working with Stanley Kubrick in classic movies to this fucking tripe? How do you ask that without being condescending?
I would say something like, are you being ironic?
Are you being a whore? Do you realize you're being a whore?
Right? Like, you know, are you being ironic? Are you putting me on? Because if so, haha.
So there you have it. If you want a gory slasher with a stupid story and corny acting, then the remake is just for you. If you want to see Courtney Palem expose her rack and then get tossed into a wood chipper, by all means, give it a shot. If you're into a more cerebral slasher with good character development and a solid story, then we recommend the original Silent Night, Deadly Night this Christmas. And although I can't endorse them as good views, there are 4 sequels in the Silent Night, Deadly Night series that you can chew on during these days of Yule. And remember to catch the original Black Christmas if you haven't already. We can't stress that enough. It's been a blast making this holiday show. We hope you enjoyed it. On behalf of everyone here at Horror 101, we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and we hope you'll come back in 2013 for more horror greatness. And with that in mind, this is Cash Wampum saying there's a horror movie out there that's going to scare the jingle bells off you, and we're going to help you find it here at Horror 101, educating your fears. Hello? What? He fell off the ladder and now he's in traction? That's awesome! Tell him I said Merry Christmas and his house looks great!